Thank the Lord for salvation today. And I thank the Lord for each one that pressed their way out to this house of the Lord today. The Lord's been talking to me this week about loving Him. And it's been the whole week, not just a few days. And I thought about how if we were to ask anybody, most people, even people that are not, that don't really consider themselves saved, they would say, yes, I love the Lord. But I believe that everyone that has a profession of salvation and every person that considers themselves a Christian would say, I love the Lord. I love Him. And I believe that if we were to ask, take a survey here of the individuals that are here today, I believe every one of us would no doubt say that, yes, I love the Lord. And I thought about the scripture in John, the 21st chapter, where it speaks about the Lord told Simon. He says, Simon, and I'm going to read it, the 15th verse. He says, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, when I think about what that means in Peter's, the Lord asking Peter a question. And Jesus, I believe, had a way of asking questions that you and I don't have that way of asking questions. I believe that He could talk to not just the mental aspect of the man, but He could talk down to the depths of the spiritual man. He could uncover things that we didn't even realize were covered up. And I believe that this is what happened in Peter's case. He said, Peter, do you love me? And the first thing off the top of Peter's head was, yeah, I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. Well, what does that mean? Yeah, preach to the people. I'm willing to do that. I've been doing that, Lord. And he says to him the second time, Peter, do you love me? He said, and he compared himself among all these things. Do you love me more than these? The first time he said, yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said it the second time. And I believe that the more the Lord asked Peter that, the more Peter began to, wait a minute, let me take a look. Let me examine what I'm saying. Sometimes I just speak off the top of my head. Peter tended to do that, and sometimes we tend to do it as well. We can say to a man, can say to his wife, and someone can say, a wife can ask her husband, do you love me? And he can say, yes, I love you. But she asks again, do you really love me? Do you really love me? And because there's a question in her mind that he needs to look at some things, and there are some things about how he's treating her, perhaps, that doesn't show forth the love that he needs to show to that woman. And so she's asking the question, and I believe that God, the Lord Jesus, is asking the question to Peter. And I don't believe that it stops at Peter. I believe he asks the question to us. Do you really love me? I know what you say. I know how you say it. But I want you to understand what you're really saying. Because when I say feed my lambs, there is something that goes along with, there's a responsibility, shall we say, that goes along with loving God. And the responsibility that we have in loving God is to obey Him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. A person that does not keep the commandments of the Lord, no matter what they say with their lips, they don't love the Lord like they need to. Now, may the Lord help us, because we can be in that same kind of a place that we're saying, and we're saying it from the housetop, oh, I love the Lord. I love serving Him and all this. Yet we are not doing the things that God, we're not obeying His commandments. So that gives a different perspective of it. And the Lord is looking at it from His perspective. And because ultimately, if you say that to me, I'm going to believe you. But the Lord knows whether or not you truly love Him. Now, the basis of everything that we do should be our love for the Lord. It is not that a man that loves a wife gets up and loves him because a man doesn't get up and go to work because she loves. Lost my thought. Pray for me. I'll take that. Thank you. A husband gets up and goes to work because he loves his family. That's why we do it. And when he stops loving his family, he's not as inclined to get up and go to work. All right? A man that doesn't work to support his family needs to examine his love for his family. Now, that's just the preface of this discourse. I want us to turn to Revelations, the second chapter, and I want to begin reading at the first verse. If you'll have it for us, if you'll read it for us, I'd appreciate that. Yes, Revelation 2 and 1. All right, this is the Lord speaking. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks.
I know thy
works,
and thy labor,
and thy patience,
and
how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast abandoned your love for me. You've abandoned something. But here we see, I know thy works. The Lord is looking at everything that they're doing. They're doing everything by the books. Everything like they're supposed to do it. I know thy works. I know the labor that you put forth, a great effort. I know you're very patient, and how you cannot stand those which are evil, and how you've tried those which say that they are apostles and are not, and you found them liars. So these people are one that try the spirits. They're not one that just allow people to come in and just do anything. This is a church. This is a congregation of people that are concerned about the quality and essence of their worship. They are concerned about the quality of those that come in, where those people are that come in among them. They're going to try them. The scripture says in one place, it says, try the spirits. You don't believe every spirit, because there's a lot of false prophets that go out into the world. He said, but try those spirits. And so these individuals did that, and this is a good resume of what that congregation was. But he says, I want to talk to you about something here. And this is Jesus speaking. And if you were to look at it from the outside, everything looks like it's okay. Everything looks kosher. But really, when you get down to the depths of it, what we find out is they're doing all the things that they're doing, but they've abandoned the very essence of what they should be embracing. They've abandoned that. All right, and so we've got to be careful in the same way that we don't do everything just like the book says, just like it's supposed to be done. We're trying the spirits of the individuals. We're doing all the things that are supposed to be done, but we really, down in the depths of our heart, we don't love the Lord anymore. Lord, help us. How do we come to that place? All the fine points that everybody would pat you on the back and say, do you know what? The motivation of our living for the Lord, the motivation of our fellowship must be the love of God. It is what constrains us. It's what pushes us, and it's what drives us to the place that God wants us to be. Lord, I love you, and if I don't love you, then all the things that I'm doing become humdrum. And I become very easily disillusioned at all the things that are not going the way that I want them to go, because, Lord, I expected you to do this for me, and now it just seems like I'm just going through the motions and just going through the motions. Do you know that we can do that? We can just go through the motions. We don't really have it on the inside. We don't have the love. We don't have the embracing of the things of God like what we need, and we're just going through the motions. This is what this church was doing, and he said, I've got somewhat against you. Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake you've labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And what does he say? Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen,
and repent.
And do the first works.
Or else I will
come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candle out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans,
which I also hate.
They had a lot in common, if you will, with the Lord. But he said, there's one thing I want you to do. And I feel like this is something that the Lord is asking you and I to do today. Examine our love for the Lord. Examine why I do the things that I do. Examine, is it because I just follow a routine? Is it because I follow a protocol? Is it because of what the church teaches? Is it because of what the Bible teaches even? But is it because I love the Lord? I do the things that I do. I come to worship because I love the Lord. I want to see what He has for me. I pray in the morning because I love the Lord. And I want to let Him know that. I want my spirit to go up to His spirit. And I want to mingle our spirits. I love the Lord. And this is why I do what I do. Alright? Here is what He's saying here. Remember where you are fallen and repent and do your first work. What I believe the Lord is saying to us as a congregation, to every person that is here today, I believe the Lord is saying like Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? He said, saints of God, do you really love me? And we say, yes, Lord, I love you. We say it the first time off the top of our heads. But He said, listen, what do you realize what that means, Peter? When I tell you, feed my sheep, do you know what it means when I say feed my sheep? Do you realize that there's going to be some opposition that you're going to come against when you feed my sheep? Do you realize people are going to try to kill you? Do you realize that they're going to be offended by the things that you say and the things that you do? And they're going to try to destroy you in any way that they can. Do you realize that, Peter? If you realize that, Peter, and you understand it, you realize that it does not matter. You're doing what God wants you to do. You love Him, and you're doing it out of your love for Him, and you're doing it out of your love for His creation. All right? So He asks us, do you love me? Do you really love me? And so He says, this is something that only you can examine. It's something that only you can examine whether or not it's superficial or whether or not it's the depths of what it should be. Just like Peter. What was the first thing that Peter said to the Lord? He said, Lord, feed my sheep. He said, well, what shall this man do? He said, what is that to thee? You feed my sheep. You do what I told you to do. And do you know what? Our obedience to God has nothing to do with anybody else's obedience or their disobedience to God. So we have to look at it from that standpoint. Lord, what is everybody else going to do? You're requiring all of this of me. And I'm a little bit disappointed that you're requiring. Well, do you love me? That's why I ask you that question. All right? He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the paradise of God. Now let's go to Jeremiah, the second chapter, and let's begin reading at the second verse. Jeremiah 2, verse 2. Okay, go start at the first verse. Just read starting at the first verse, please.
Moreover,
yes.
The word of the Lord came to me, saying,
yes.
Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem.
Yes.
Saying, thus saith the Lord. I remember you.
This Lord is saying. This is what the Lord is saying to Israel, to Jerusalem. All right?
The kindness of my youth.
I remember the kindness of your youth.
The love of thy espousal.
I remember the love of your espousal. When you went after me, I remember how it was. I remember that there was a time in your experience that it seemed like you just liked being around me. That's what the Lord is saying. I remember that. All right? Read.
The land that was not sown.
Israel was holiness unto the Lord.
And
the first fruits of his increase.
All that devour
him shall offend.
Evil shall come upon them,
saith the Lord.
Hear ye the word of the Lord.
O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel,
thus saith the Lord,
what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither say they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, and led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pitch, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt?
I brought you into the plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof.
Okay, that's good. So he's saying here, what have I done? Israel, I remember when you were pursuing me. I remember when there was a great love that you had for me. I remember when you were young, when you first got saved, you might say. Your espousal, when we were espoused together and we first got married. We're married unto the Lord. And then I remember how you went after me and you just could not get enough of being around me. Now, what has happened? What is the evil that I've done? What is the iniquity that God is saying that I've done that has caused you not to go after me anymore?
that has caused you, your affections to be turned away from me and turned to something else. Do you know, saints of God, we've got to be very, very careful of that, because we're living in a time of many, many spiritual distractions. And the Lord is saying to me, listen, you once loved me. You once had a great affection for me. Now there is, seems to be, an alienation of your affection, that your affections are being turned in another direction. I'm concerned about that, he's saying. So what did I do? What iniquities have you found in me? Do you realize that I believe one of the reasons, one of the things that I see that is happening today? Scripture, let's turn to Matthew 24 and verse 12. We'll start that read there. One of the things that I see that is happening today is that there is a waxing cold for the love of God. People's love really just for people in general is waxing cold. All right, read.
Because
iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He that shall endure unto the end. Now, do you see how he put these two scriptures together? He says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Do you realize that there is some enduring that we're going to have to do in order to maintain and make certain that we fight against that which is trying to take our love of God away from us? All right? We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to endure it. We're going to have to fight against it. Do you realize that there are more distractions today than there ever has been in the existence of time? Right now, today, somebody can set up on their little iPod, an iPad, or what do you call that? iPhone. The iPhone, you can get the internet, you can find out anything. Some of y'all got some, don't you? You can be distracted. Have you ever seen somebody setting up in church, texting somebody else? Right? You can be distracted from the things of God. We can have one phone. The other day, somebody called me, and I had one phone on one ear and would have the other phone, and some other folks were trying to... We can be distracted from a whole lot of things, but saints, don't become distracted from your love of God. The Lord is not just going to accept you doing everything by the book like it's supposed to be. He said the very foundation and the very motivation of you doing those things is love for me. It's not all right just to get up in the morning, pray a little bit, read your Bible, and you do it, and Lord, I feel like I've met my obligation to you today. Now I'm going to do the rest of the day like I want to do it. That's not going to cut it. The Lord doesn't want that kind of a relationship. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Jesus Christ because He loved you. Not for you to do everything just by the book. Only He wants that love to be reciprocated. Alright? So, in other words, my responsibility to God is to love Him as close to the... as much as I possibly can. What is this first commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. He didn't say the first commandment was thou shalt not do this or that. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord. Every other commandment is secondary to that. Every other commandment, all the Ten Commandments, all of those things that He puts in this Bible, the main one is to love me with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Saints, we cannot allow that to become dull. We cannot allow that to disintegrate in any kind of way. May the Lord help us to love Him like we're supposed to. Now, when I learn to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, all the do's and don'ts don't become do's and don'ts. I do it because I love Him. I'm doing it because this pleases Him. Let me tell you the thing that a man that is married to a woman, he does those things because he loves that woman. That's the way he's supposed to do it. He's not supposed to do it just because I'm the husband and I'm supposed to do it. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, he's the husband and he's supposed to do it, but he does it because he loves her. He doesn't come and take that paycheck, throw it on the table and tell her, I gave you the money every year, every month and every week and I let you do it. That's supposed to be that I love. That's not what love is. A woman doesn't want you to just throw money on the table and get like that. Let me say they would like to have a bunch of money from what I understand of them. And they don't mind you throwing it on the table and putting it on the table and say, hey, here, babe, you can do whatever you want to with it. That's wonderful for a woman, isn't it? But let me tell you what she wants. She wants affection. She wants more than that. She wants your heart.
and you want hers, right? That's what makes the marriage work. And that's what makes it easy for him to get up. And I'm not complaining about getting up out of this bed for this old ungrateful person that I've got to do. We don't do it like that because there's love there. And what motivates us in everything that we do is the love that we have.
Amen.
And what motivates me to do the commandments of God, and he says that my commandments are not grievous, is my love for him. And if I ever lose that love for him, then it becomes just a thing, a dead, dry thing. And it's not something that people understand. And so it becomes a doctrine of the church. And it's not, or it becomes something that we try to dismiss. And that's not even the point. The point is, I'm doing this because I love the Lord, and the Lord is pleased with me when I do it. Not Brother Daryl. Not the saints. I'm not doing it for you. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the Lord. And if the Lord is satisfied, it really doesn't matter if you're not.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? It really doesn't matter if nobody else likes what I'm doing. The Lord is pleased. And this is why we must ask the question, do you love me?
Amen.
Then you do what I tell you to do. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Well, Lord, everybody else is not doing that. And they say that they love you. That's between me and them. If I would that he stay here until I... how's it go?
He tarry
until I come. What is that to thee? You follow me. Because the question that I asked you that you just got through answering in the positive three times is, you love me, so do what I say. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Saints, we've got to love the Lord. It's more than just by rote. It's more than just doing it because the Bible says it. You understand what I'm saying? It's more than that. It's, Lord, I love you. And yes, the Bible shows me how to express that love. But Lord, I love you first. Lord, help us. All right. Now, what I see that happens sometimes is, did we finish reading Matthew 24? 12 and 13? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. A lot of things that are happening out in the world is affecting our love, really, one for another. We can go back in our history. And it's just about like this. We knew most of the people on our block. We've said those kinds of things, didn't we, when we were children? Nowadays, we don't. Remember when we used to pick up my father? I don't know. He was a man that somebody was standing on the side of the road hitchhiking. He'd pick up a hitchhiker. You think twice about that, right? There's a concern that you have for your fellow man, even the ones that look like they might. We make a judgment by the way that they look. And even the ones that look like they're okay, we're concerned about them because Jeffrey Dahmer looked okay too. And a bunch of the serial killers, you never would have thought that they were. They're just regular people. But because iniquity shall abound, we withdraw our affections from one another. And it's having an effect on the entire... So we become cynical about a lot of things. When we ask somebody to do something and they're not interested in doing it for us, and we become a little bit cynical. And we begin to, maybe become a little bit disillusioned by some of the things that we see that is happening around us. Saints, let's be careful about this. Lord, help it not to affect our love for the Lord. Help it not to affect our love one for another. Help it not to affect our love in our family. Let me tell you what the devil is doing nowadays. He is trying to break down the foundation of love, the community of love. People nowadays do not believe that it is necessary to come to church at all. And I'm not just talking about the church of God. It is all over. It's pervasive. What we have, what is happening right here, is happening all over the world. It's happening all over America. Folks want to dissect it and say that this is happening because of this or that. No. Do a little research and find out that folks feel like that they don't have to worship God with a group of people. So now what they do, they stay at home. They worship online. They do a lot of things. And well, they've got some problems with what happened at church and all these kind of things. But still, what does the Scripture say? The Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some be. Period. Right? So we have to do that. We have to do that. And we have to be careful about generalizations too. We can throw everybody in the same box. All women are like that. And so if one woman does you wrong, all women will do you wrong. Or if one man does you wrong, all men are like that. There are some things that all men are like in some regards. But don't throw everybody in the same box, because what happens is it causes you, it affects how you respond to that group of people. Alright? In the same way, saints, some folks will say, oh, that's how the... I hate this term, ELS. That's ELS. Don't generalize. Don't throw everybody in a box and say that that's how all of them are, because you don't know what you're talking about. May the Lord help us. And as a result of that, because you see somebody that didn't do what they were supposed to do, you put everybody in a box, and now you've generalized. And do you know that that affects how you respond to those people that you have put in that box, in that group? Don't generalize. It's not a good thing to generalize to that degree. All right? So may the Lord help us to clearly understand that what the Lord wants us to do is, I have an obligation to my fellow man. No matter what group they come under. We can say it in racial groups as well. All black folks are like this. All white folks are like this. We cannot do that. And so consequently, it makes us have a prejudiced look at a certain group of people, whether it's men, women, blacks, whites, whatever it may be. We've got to be careful, because iniquity shall abound. And we see that this group of people, it seems like, always does this thing. The love of many shall wax cold. Lord, help us not to allow our love to slowly go through the process of cynicism, rationalization, and waxing cold to the point that I don't care about nobody anymore. Because if you don't love God's creation, it's going to be very difficult for you to love God too. If you don't, how did the scripture talk about, this is how you're going to know, all men shall know you're my disciples, because you have love one toward another. But if you generalize and you say that that's them and that, all of that, you're not going to have the love that you need for God's church, God's people. Let me tell you something. There is not a person here that there's not a person in the world that if you were around them for, where you were closed up in a room for a week, somebody would do something to get on your nerves. Right? And trust me, you'd get on theirs too. They are fast, you're slow. You talk too much, they don't talk enough. Something about that individual is not exactly the way you want it. What does the scripture say about that? Love, charity covers the multitude of sins. I've got to love them anyway. Even though there are some things about them that I don't quite appreciate to the degree that I need to appreciate, but you know what? I'm going to love them anyway, Lord, and I'm going to love you. Lord, help us. But I want to turn to another scripture that'll go right along with this. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 2nd verse. Let's read that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. I'll start at the first verse.
This know also,
that in the last days, perilous times shall come.
Men shall be lovers of
who?
Their own
selves. Who?
Their own selves.
Now this is what the Bible is saying. I didn't say this. I have observed it, and I see that it is a true statement that folks love themselves more than they love anybody. And so consequently, do you know why the divorce rate is so high? Let me tell you, I've said it many times. I've been married for 27 years. My wife and I have not always agreed, but we've always loved one another. And we've always worked through, we've always had the ability to pray through, and there are some times that we've pointed out to one another, you're loving yourself a little bit too much. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. The reason that the divorce rate is so high nowadays is because men love themselves. The reason that there are so many problems in the world today is because men and women love themselves. Lord, help us. And when you love yourself, what do? For somebody you love, you sacrifice for them at the expense of somebody else. You'll do things for people that you love that you will not do for anybody else in the world.
And if your number one person is you, then you're going to be doing a whole lot of stuff for you, and you're going to become a selfish, self-centered individual, and you're not going to get out of the bed when you need to get out of the bed. You're not going to get up and do the things. You're not going to go to church because you love yourself too much. Lord, I love you. Now, let's go on down. Lord, I love you, but I love myself. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, continent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasure. So if the Super Bowl is going on, and the World Series or something, and it's doing a church service during that time, guess where we're going to go? Let's just do this. Let's have for Super Bowl on a Sunday. Sometime in February. I want to bring a big screen, and all of us watch it in the dining hall. Well, we can have some good lesson about that. That guy just tackled that guy, and let's have a good lesson. Give me something that relates spiritually to that. Love is a pleasure more than lovers of God. Lord, I want to do what you would have me to do. All right? Some folks are doing that. Well, you got to reach the people where they are. Okay, well, I wonder what God thinks about that. Lord, help us. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Of their own selves.
Having a form of godliness.
All right, having a form of godliness.
And denying the power thereof.
And denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now. Alienation of affections. Do you know that that's happening today? People dress provocatively and they don't even realize what spirit they're of. And that spirit is to draw attention to themselves.
Yeah.
All right? And then as they draw attention in that direction, ultimately, the consummation of that is adultery. And so really what you have to say is, the beginning point was adultery. You see my point? So let's say, can I talk plain? The reason that we teach modesty is because we don't want to draw attention. We don't want to draw attention where it doesn't need to be. Saints don't tease people. We don't do that. We don't peekaboo. Show you a little bit, but not too much. Nowadays, they're showing everything. But there is something that is, this is why we teach what we teach. And so consequently, what we have to understand is not just old fogey, it is because I love the Lord. But you know what the point is? I should be attractive to Him. So I'm not doing this because I feel an obligation because this is what y'all teach. No, I'm doing it because I love the Lord and I want, there's only one person that you should be trying to get their attention. In that kind of a way. Women, men too. We often jump on the women and we say a woman shouldn't dress provocatively. Men shouldn't do it either. Everybody doesn't have to look sexy. That's what they say. That's the word that's out there today. All right, but here's the point. There's one person that you should be attracted to, and that's all. The only person in the world that you need to be attracted in that way to. All right? So in the same way, spiritually speaking, the only one person should be, I should be attractive to one person, and that person is God. And if I'm attracted to God, then that means that I'm attracted to those people that really matter. All right? Does that make sense? Now, let's go to James 4:4. Read it for us if you have it. James 4:4.
Adulterers.
The adulterers and adulteresses.
Know ye not.
Friendship of the world
is enmity with God.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world
is
the enemy of God. Yes.
Do you think that the scripture says in vain?
Yes.
The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy.
Lusteth to envy.
But he giveth more grace.
You know what? The Lord gives grace not to be friends to the world. Did you know that? Do you know sometimes it takes grace because we are tempted. All of us are. Let's not pretend that we're not. There is something about the world that paints itself to be very attractive to us. There is something, a weakness, a natural weakness per se, that was in us from when Adam, when we were born into sin. And there is that which can turn our heads, and there is something in the world that can attract all of us. But he says, you know what? Know ye not adulterers and adulteresses. So we say, in essence, at the beginning, this is why we say the seed at the beginning is a seed of adultery. And it leads and it attracts us and it turns our head in another direction, because I'm already espoused to the one that I love. But maybe we're going through a difficulty, a transition right now, and what we do, I'm just going to be a friend. So we start talking to someone of the opposite sex that's just friends. We're at work across the desk. She starts smiling and whatnot. And you start telling all the problems that are at home. Watch it. It just starts out as a platonic relationship. It's just a friendship. And say, what are you doing for lunch today? I've got coupons for such and such. Let's go. And so you go to, there's nothing wrong with that. We can't say that that's wrong, but we're saying that there is something that is starting that will lead you in a direction that's not good. All right? It will alienate your affections. And when you start crying on her shoulder and you start telling her how your wife is not treating you right and how things at home are not exactly the way they should be and all that, she begins to give you just ever so slightly a little bit of understanding and, oh, yes, I understand. And I wish my wife could be like that. I wish she could be more, if she would just listen to me. And if she would just, if only that. But let me tell you, you're fighting something. There is a spirit of adultery that is fighting you. Don't allow your affections to be alienated. This is what happens in the world. So we start out a very platonic relationship. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. And so what happens? What happens when your wife goes to your coat pocket and she sees, smells like some perfume. You ain't done nothing. But she sees that you went, who did you go with? There's, what is this, $46? And you didn't go by yourself. Well, no, I went with so-and-so at work. What's that going to do? You think she's going to be okay with that? No, she's not going to be. We're just talking where we are, aren't we? She's not going to be okay with that. But what do we suppose the Lord feels when we begin to become friends with those things out in the world that has the potential of drawing us away from Him? It's just a platonic relationship. Just a friendship. Lord, help us. And ultimately, it leads to spiritual adultery. I find something that is said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I find somebody that some, and he said, my commandments are not grievous. But I find somebody that is meeting my needs spiritually, or what I deem to be my needs are being met for this moment. And that consequently, I feel like I'm going to go there and I'm going to do this. And what we find out is a great majority of the time, if not every single time, plunged into spiritual adultery because of a friendship of the world. All right, let's go a little further. We're almost finished here. Scripture says in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What does that mean? It means that there is a system of the world, and that system has a current. And it draws you, and you get caught up in it, and it'll draw you, and its purpose is to take you away from God. But it doesn't start out that way. And so in the same way, this woman's purpose, or man's purpose, or whatever, and I've talked to people that have gotten caught up in relationships that had no intentions of ever getting caught up in a relationship. But it was just a weak moment and they were not very watchful. So here is what happened is the current draws them away from the one that they've been espoused to. So we want to get back to the text of the scripture says, do you love me? Have you left? Have you abandoned your love for me? And now your affections are going out to someone else. And not to God. And this is what I want us to understand, because this is why people don't quite understand what we teach sometimes. The essence of what we teach is you do everything out of your love for the Lord. Not just because this is what is taught, this is what is done, you do it because this is what I believe God is pleased with. This is why we say have a personal relationship with the Lord. All right. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2.
If you then be risen with Christ,
seek those things which are above. Lord, help us. Turn our affections back to you. All right? Seek those things which are above.
Where Christ sitteth
on the right hand of God.
Set your affections on things above,
not on things of this earth. I want to read another scripture. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter that goes along with this, the 10th verse. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Here's a point that I want to make here, because this is something that's very real to us today.
Love of money
is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced them. Let me say this. It's not wrong to make money. All of us make money. Every single person in here has been in a position to make money, because if we don't have money, we cannot live. All right. So this scripture is not saying that money is evil. It's saying that there is something behind it, a love that we have, the love of it, rather than the love of God. It's not just something that we have that will bring us closer to the Lord. It is something that people lust after. They desire. They desire the power that money has. They love. The love of money is the root of all evil. And if you look at it, every evil that we have that's taking place today, in essence, there is some kind of money that is funding it in some kind of way. Lord, help us. So don't let your affections go out to money. So you get so busy. And this is why I say to people, even though my son is in a place that he's not able to come to services, I told him and I say, listen, I'm more inclined, and I still talk to him. I'd quit a job over not being able to go to church. I sure would. If they did not let me go on a consistent basis, I understand not being able to go sometimes. I understand that. I understand that there are going to be some times, but on a consistent basis, I'd find me something else. Because it means just that much to me to be in the house of God.
Amen.
All right, so I need to find a job. I need to talk to somebody where the money is not so important to me that I miss out on the blessing that God has for me at that moment. At this moment in time, I'm not going to do it. But I realize that every person has to come to that place for themselves. But this is how I teach it, and this is what I believe, and I'm going to stand by that. The love of money is the root of all evil. And what happens is it can take us on a tangent. It can take us away from the things of God. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. So, Lord, we need you to revive us. We need you to help us to set our affections on the things above, not on things of this earth. I don't want my affections to go out to anything here, because you know what? I'm just going to be here. I probably got another 20 years, 30 years? Maybe. Maybe not even 20 or 30 minutes. And then what? I'm going to be in eternity. And what is all the billions and millions and the fame and fortune going to do for me then? Nothing. So you know what? I'm going to set my affections there, because then I can go and enjoy it there. Alright? Alright, Psalm 6. 85 and 6. Lord, revive us again.
That thy people may rejoice in
thee. We may rejoice in thee.
Show us thy mercy, O Lord.
Show us thy mercy, O Lord. Grant us thou salvation.
I will hear what God the Lord will speak.
I'll hear what he speaks. So he says, revive our... What I want to say is, Lord, revive my love for you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Simon Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. You know what revive means? It means to resuscitate, to bring back. Where the most important thing in my life is, I love the Lord. I have that one commandment. The greatest commandment is, and on all the commandments of God,
hinge on these two commandments, is what the Scripture says. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And do you know what? Every commandment, the Ten Commandments, and everything in this Bible, and everything that we teach, and everything that we believe, has either something to do with God or something to do with our neighbor. So if I can love God like I'm supposed to, then I will love my neighbor like I'm supposed to. And if I can love my neighbor like, if we could all do that, then we wouldn't have the problems that we see in the world today. So what do we say? Lord, revive us again. Bring us back to that place that I can love you again. I want to fall in love with you again. I want to go, and I think that sometimes this is what needs to happen in a marriage, in a relationship. I've said it many, many times here. And I want to say that I believe as we go through a marriage or any type of relationship, it doesn't matter what relationship it is. A relationship where you love someone, that relationship is organic. It is an organism. It is something that is alive and growing, and it should be growing, and it should be abounding more and more. And if it's not, there is something wrong. We need to back up, and we need to say, Lord, what's the problem? What is sick about this relationship? And sometimes we want to blame the other person. Yes, and I'm not going to say that the other person is not to blame. But let me tell you, there is never a place that God puts us in that we don't have a level of control over every situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, there's nothing I can do. I've done everything I can. No, there is still something you can do. You can still believe. You can still trust the Lord. You can still love the Lord with all of your heart. And you can still love that person who's your enemy. Now, those are choices that you make. Has a person that you love ever turned? I've had it happen to me. People that you love and you love them dearly, they turn against you. They become your enemies. And what does the Lord say about if you want to love your brother, you better love your enemies. Now they were my brother. I put that in quotations. Now they're my enemy. I still better love them. And I better find a depth of divine love that is so strong that covers the multitude of their sins. Lord, help me. This is what the Bible is all about. This is what the Church of God is all about. We must love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. And we must love our neighbors as ourselves. We must do it. We've got to do it. Then it's not by rote. We're not doing the things by rote. Lord, help us. All right, Philippians, we're almost through here. Philippians 1 and 9. Someone get us 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. And then someone, 1 John 4 and 20. And we'll be done.
Chapter 1, verse 9.
Yes.
And this I pray.
That your love may abound yet more and more.
In knowledge. And in all judgment. That you may approve things
that are excellent.
That you may be sincere.
And that's good enough. I pray that your love may abound more and more. So you love the Lord. Do you think you love Him enough? Are you satisfied? No. I pray. So what do? We pray, Lord, revive our love. Revive my love. I want to do the things that I do because I love You. Not because they're required of me. I don't want to do the things. I don't want to go through my life doing the things of God. The things of God. Because I feel like I'm obligated to do them. I'd rather you not do them if you feel obligated. Somebody ever said that that's the way you feel about it, don't do it for me?
Right.
Have you ever had somebody say that? Or have you ever heard somebody say that that's, if you're not doing it because you love them, you're stomping them, and I'm talking about adults. You make children do it anyway. Because you teach them. But adults stomping and throwing stuff while they're doing it, well, just stop doing it. Don't do it if that's how you feel about it. Do you know I feel like the Lord probably says the same thing? I don't want you to do that because I'm not looking at it anyway. He said, what did He say to the church at Ephesus? He said, you know what? You just as well not do it because I have somewhat against you. You've got to repent of that. So He said, all those things are good. You've done all those things, but you've left. You've abandoned your love for me. Saints, let's not abandon our love for the Lord. All right. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Appreciate your patience. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Yes. Yes.
Brethren,
yes.
As it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly.
Faith grows exceedingly.
And the charity of every one.
And charity
towards each other.
Each toward the other. All right, there, your charity abounds each toward the other. Okay, so what do? We pray. We pray and we ask the Lord that our faith grows exceedingly, our charity grows. We can ask the Lord to do that. Can you do that? I believe the Lord will bless us for that. I believe the Lord will bless us when we put it on the right path in the right way. The Lord will bless us. 1 John 4:20.
If a man say, I love God.
Man say, I love God.
And hateth his brother.
Hateth his brother.
He is a liar.
What does the Bible say? He's a liar. You cannot say that you hate me, no matter what I did, no matter how much offense you experience, and you say you love God. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. All right? Read.
For he that loveth not his brother,
loveth not his brother, whom he has seen,
how can he love
God, whom he has not seen?
And this commandment have we from him.
Yes.
That he who loveth God,
he who loveth, a commandment, he who loveth God,
love his brother
also. So the point that we have to make, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love God, you got to love your brother. May the Lord help us to teach us to love again. I believe that there comes a time in some people's experience that some people have to be taught how to love again. I believe that this is what the Lord wants the church today. In order for us to be effective, to go to the next level that God wants us to, we cannot do it out of obligation. We have to do it because we love the Lord. I'm doing it because I love Him. And if I don't love Him like I feel like I should, how do I get that? I pray. I seek the Lord. I ask the Lord to revive my love. Ask the Lord that my love may abound. Ask the Lord to teach me how to love. There's one scripture I believe in Titus where it says that the older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands, how to love their children. Love is taught. Love there is an example that we follow, an example. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We can love the Lord because the Lord first loved us. And He showed us how to love Him. So may the Lord help us. I want to encourage you that way. Whatever you're going through today, whatever the situations are that you're facing, may the Lord help you to learn how to love again. All right? And when the Lord does that, the Lord will bless you in your relationship with Him and your relationship with your fellow man.
Brother Joe, you made reference to Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is hear, O Israel.
Hear, O Israel.
The Lord our God is one Lord.
He's one Lord.
And thou shalt love,
the Lord thy God
with all thy heart,
with all thy
soul,
with all thy soul,
with all thy mind,
with all thy mind,
with all thy strength.
With all thy strength.
This is the first commandment.
First commandment.
And the second is,
and the second is likened to it. Mainly this.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor.
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
There is none other commandment greater than these.
None other commandment greater than these. Nothing greater than this. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.
Amen.
4:22.